The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my co-producer, and technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, Happy New Year to everybody, 2018. I mean, I can't believe I've made it this long. I mean, I'm looking at my 78th birthday. I mean, for God's sakes, where did time go? Time has a way of just running away with us. Oh, my goodness. It's just great. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. And I want to wish you a joyous New Year, one filled with good health, peace of mind, loving relationships, and continued prosperity. And above all, I have my fingers crossed that maybe this year, 2018, the year I consider the year of the woman, I mean, the Dalai Lama predicted this a long time ago. And when I was listening to Amy Goodman's show before Women's Spaces came on, and I was listening to all these powerful women speaking, coming forward about some of the traumas and tragedies that they've had in their life and willing to speak truth to power. You know, ladies, we are the ones who bring in the future. We are the ones who bring birth. Whether you have a child or not, it is irrelevant. The point is, as a woman, you are charged with this divine mystery. You know, I'm becoming a great grandmother. I mean, I can't believe it. You know, I announced it last week. In fact, today, when we take our musical break, I'm going to play a very special song called The Circle of Life. You know, because it is a circle. You know, here I was once a little girl, you know, where my grandmother was all excited, and then all of a sudden, here I have a child, and now my daughter's son is going to be a father, and it's just amazing to me. You know, I looked at the paper this morning, and I found this on the internet, and this to me really symbolizes what life is all about. It's a little cartoon with Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, and it says, they're having a little conversation today, and Pooh says to ask Piglet, "Well, what day is it?" And Piglet answers, "It's today." And then Pooh says, "My favorite day." That's right. Today is our favorite day, because you know something, really realizing it, you know, 2017 was pretty heavy for me. I lost several good friends. You know, I lost my dear friend Lee Gooding, who was a massage therapist. And when I think of him leaving, I say to myself, it's true. There is an ending. There is that day where we are no longer going to have days on this planet. So it's so important to think about it. Just think about, again, I'm going to say it. Pooh asked Piglet, "What day is it?" And Piglet says, "It's today." And Pooh says, "My favorite day." Well, today is my favorite day, too. And I have some wonderful guests. You know, I have to say this, you know, being a producer of a radio show is very interesting. You get up in the morning and there's your email, and all of a sudden a guest had a very, very unhappy thing happen to her, and she had to cancel. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, wow, what do I do? So I'm on the phone and I'm doing this, and finally I just calmed down. I looked at this little cartoon and I says, today is the best day of my life, and I'm just going to do the very best I can. So in the studio with me, I'm very excited. I have a very special guest, and it's a very timely topic. You know, because when the topic we're going to talk about is imagine you. And you know, I think here we are in 2018 and women speaking out. I never could imagine that all this would come forward like this. Never in my wildest dreams would I hear about women talking about rape, talking about injustice, talking about all the things that happened to us. You know, it's like when I was growing up, I remember my mother once said to me, in fact, on my report card, I mean, it was very interesting. Can you imagine this happening to me on my report card from kindergarten? The teacher writes, "Elaine should understand that children should be seen and not heard." Oh my God. What a horrible thing. You know, and I carried that burden with me. It wasn't until I went to the junior college and all of a sudden took a public speaking class and the teacher told me, Elaine, you have a voice. You don't have to be silent. And that was a big deal for me. So talking about imagine you coming forward in a way that speaks out. I play the song a lot, Ellen Barksdale, By My Silence, I Give My Consent. Well, women are no longer going to be giving the consent. We're no longer willing to go to the back of the bus. You know, we want to be respected. We want to be heard. We want it understood that we are bringing forward the children, and we want peace on this earth for our children. You know, when I look at some of these young people that are being hurt in these countries far away from us because of war and because of poverty, I say to myself, no, this should not be happening this way. And the only way we're going to change it is if women come together as women, not women of color, not women of a different religion, but women. You know, if you go on the website, www.womenspaces.com, I would like you to read the poem that I wrote called I Am Women, All Women, that was really motivated by my dear friend Alicia Sanchez, who's the president here at KBBF, spoke in Spanish in a rally, and I start crying. Why? Because I looked at all these women with their baby carriages, holding their children, feeding their children, chasing their children, and I said to me, every woman is me. I am women, I am all women. You know, we all get our menstrual cycle. We all get frustrated. We all try to find a love. We all have children and scream. We're women, and we need to come together, and we need to support our sisters who are so bravely, bravely speaking out. Well, let me talk a little bit now about my guest that I have with me in the studio. Her name is Dr. Ellen Barnett. She has a PhD, and she's also the medical director for Integrative Family Practice. And she's a group leader for the Valiant Group. And it was really interesting. One of the things when you have a lot of people come on and all of a sudden they talk about groups, you say to yourself, well, what group is that? Well, we'll have her talk about that when we do the interview. That's going to be one of my first questions. And she's going to talk about a program that she personally developed called Imagine You. I love that. Imagine You. You know, I remember when I used to try to imagine myself, I never thought I'd ever get educated. You know, and I ended up with a master's degree. Why? Because I imagined something different for myself. So it's very important when you think about imagining you. You have to ask yourself the question, what am I imagining? So I think it's going to be a very interesting program. It is a program that offers people the opportunity to step back, group, take a moment to acknowledge where they are, and envision what is next. Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. What I envision, what's next for Women's Spaces, I want my women listeners out there to support the show. And how are you going to support the show? Several ways. One, of course, you can make a nice donation to KBBF. We are a local radio station. We need funding. We need support from the community to stay on the air. That's one way. You can become a member. You can become a sustainer. There's all kinds of ways you can support KBBF. You can go on kbbf.org and you can see all the different ways that you can support. You can make just a one-time donation. You can do a monthly donation. But another way I want you to support me, is to get on the phone and start talking to some of the media that they have to pay attention. We here at KBBF have two women shows. I have a woman by the name of my dear friend Nora Belnova, because I had a cancellation this morning. She's going to kind of talk about her show. She does a show called it's Classical Tones, and she also substitutes every once in a while for one of our other women's shows that she's going to talk about. But the way you can support the station is not only to become a donor, but also for the women's shows that are out here, help us get some PR on it. You know, I don't see the Press Democrat writing about these shows here. I don't see the Bohemian. You know, I want to give a shout out to the Sonoma County Gazette, Vesta Kopsake. She actually has a column for KBBF. She supports local radio. We need to let the public know that there's women's programs that are on this bilingual station, the first bilingual station in the United States. We have to support one another. You know, the theme here in Sonoma County is go local. You know, during those fires, I didn't hear any other station other than KSRO, who's a local station, and I also heard KBBF, another local station, who were guiding and taking care of the citizens of our community. The citizens of our community need to take care of that station. Well, it's a lot to think about, a lot to talk about. Well, let's talk a little bit about New Year's Eve. Oh, my goodness. What a good time I had. I want to do a shout out to Supervisor James Gore. I mean, I got to say it to him. He pulled a party at the Luther Burbank Center that was just absolutely marvelous. He had so many people from the fire there, so many survivors. I mean, my heart went out to each and every one of these people. But what's so interesting to me is how resilient people are. And what's so beautiful, as horrible as that fire was, the beauty of it is it brought a community together. And I have to say one thing. I was at Julie Combs' New Year's Day party, and a shout out to her also. She does this annual party every year. It is just amazing. Actually, we have good luck food. We had ham. We had black-eyed peas. We had collard greens. Actually, we had collard greens that Ken, my technical engineer, actually grew in the backyard. Wonderful, wonderful food. Wonderful, wonderful conversation. But what really got me was here we are, again, community, coming together, praising one another, and again, the resilience. And I had a real interesting conversation with Noreen Evans, who ran at one point for the Board of Supervisors. She was a supervisor and then ran a second time. But we had a very interesting conversation at Julie Combs' party. And one of the things I told her, you know, there's a lot to learn from this fire. And she says, what do you mean? She says, it's such a tragedy. I says, well, you know, I went over to Coffee Park. Ken and I took a drive over there. I mean, we were only 2.5 miles from there. And we were really stunned that we were so close to this horrific fire. I mean, actually seeing flames right in front of us, you could see the sky lit up with just red flames from what was happening at Coffee Park. Well, about 4 days after it happened, when they finally settled the fire down, Ken and I decided to take a look. And I'll tell you something, it's a look I will never forget. Not only is it a look I will never forget the feeling of thinking that I was going to have to be evacuated from my house. I will never get the feeling when all of a sudden I went through 5 radios until I finally got to a radio that worked. I will never forget the feeling when I went to Raley's and I only had $20 for food because they wanted cash, and all I could buy was a jar of peanut butter, a loaf of bread, a little treat, and I think a juice. And I'll never forget that feeling when all of a sudden I found out I could use my credit card, and I said, oh my God, I felt like a millionaire. I will never forget that feeling. And I have to go a little bit backwards, you know, a little bit back, you know, like Dr. Barnett is talking, she's going to talk to us about stepping back. Well, I step back. And I said, this is just like being in a war zone, like Fallujah or Iran or any of the places right now, Syria, young children without their parents walking around crying. I mean, and when I looked at Coffee Park, I said, wait a minute, this is no difference. So we have to have a new awareness. What is war about? What happens when you destroy something, whether it's by a natural fire or by a hurricane, or by an earthquake, or by a bomb dropping? You know, we can't stop the earthquake. We can't stop the storm. But we can definitely stop those planes that go overhead and drop bombs on innocent people. So there's a lot to think about when you think about, here we are in 2018, the year of the woman. I mean, so many women coming forward. You know, we have all these different, the taxes. I mean, our minds are just going all over the place. How is it going to work out? What's going to be? Well, we have to have faith. We have to have trust. And we have to start at least looking and questioning. And remember the saying, by my silence, I give my consent. Well, next week on January 14th and January 15th, we're going to be celebrating one of the people that really inspired me in my life. I can remember it like it was yesterday, listening to that radio when they made the announcement that Martin Luther King was shot and killed. I will never forget that day. He was such an important person. He had such an impact for all of us. And it's amazing that now we have a day to celebrate his birthday. And it's very, very interesting. It really is. So what I did yesterday was really exciting. I have to say, we were invited by the Baptist Church here in Santa Rosa to come down and listen to some of the young people who won the speech program. It was just amazing. I mean, the most amazing thing was one of the women, her mother was there, and I went up to her mother and I says, "Oh, I bet you're a nervous wreck." She says, "Oh, I'm shaking." Of course, her daughter was speaking. Her daughter was a finalist in a speech contest. I was so impressed with these young people. In fact, I asked two of them that did a speech, and I asked them to come on my show, and I thought they looked at me like, "Oh, really?" You know, I said, "Oh, okay." You know, one of the things I do with young people, I say, if you'd like to be on the show, you email me. I want their commitment to me rather than me having to push them. Well, this morning I got an email, and they're going to be very happy to come on the show. So at the end of the month, I'm going to have two of these beautiful young women. Both of them, young women, Hispanic young women, you know, the brilliance that came out of their minds and their hearts was it just overwhelming to me. And I'm really excited to be able to have them there. Well, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Martin Luther King. Happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. And the theme for this year's celebration is Get Up and Stand Up. I like that one. Get up and stand up. What are we standing up for? We're standing up for the future of our children. Let's keep it simple, folks. We're standing up for the future of your children, of our children, because they are our children. You know, out of those children is going to come the next president, the next representatives, the next people that take care of our planet. So we have to really pay attention to what they're saying. And it's a whole new generation. I never had to deal with this stuff they have to deal with. You know, when I was growing up, all I worried about was getting a new pair of skates. You know, these kids have to worry about whether they're going to have a job in the future or they're going to eat. So this is a very important event. Happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. The theme for this year's celebration is Get Up, Stand Up, Building a Beloved Community Together. I love that word, beloved community together. In other words, a community of love, of compassion, of taking care of one another. It's going to be happening. There's two important events around Martin Luther King's birthday. The first one is, of course, they have the event on Sunday, January 14th, where all the kids will come and they do an art show. They have speakers, and they also present awards, you know, for the speakers. Beautiful, beautiful speeches. I mean, I was overwhelmed, if you want to know the truth. And then the next day, oh, by the way, this is going to happen. This will happen January 4th, and it's, 14th. It's going to be happening at Santa Rosa High School Auditorium from 7 to 8:30. And from what I understand, from what I heard from the organizers, is that last year they had a heating problem. It was pretty cold in that auditorium. They have assured me that this year it is not going to happen that way. It will be warm in the auditorium. So come on down, folks. You're not going to have to go through what you went through last year. So that's going to be at the Santa Rosa High School Auditorium. That's going to be on Mendocino Avenue from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And if you have any questions or you want to find out more information, give them a call at the First Baptist Church. Rather, you're going to be talking to Attila Nagy at 707-795-1044. Now, the next day, which is January 15th, is going to be MLK Day On, Not a Day Off, which would happen is they volunteer in the community to do good service. So you can also call the church there at 546-0744, area code 707. And it starts, the church is at 1629 Sonoma Avenue, and you show up at 10 o'clock to volunteer, and they will definitely give you an assignment. And if you've missed any of these announcements, you know you can go on www.womenspaces.com. We have everything listed. And also you can give KBBF a call here, and they'll be happy to inform you again of what is happening. But I really encourage folks to go down and enjoy that wonderful, wonderful event. And that's going to be next weekend, which is, you know, should be a lot of fun for all of us. You know, people complain there's not anything to do. Well, there's a lot to do in Sonoma County. If you just put your I want to do something hat on, and you can find it. Well, another thing that has happened too, I want to do a shout out to Chiquina Black and her partner Ron. Thank you so much for another wonderful New Year's Eve party. I mean, we did all kinds of wonderful things, but the good thing about it was is that, again, we had a conversation about community, that maybe that should be the theme for 2018, that as a community we work together for peace for all. Lots of things to talk about, you know, and like I said, I'm becoming a grandmother. Excuse me, a great-grandmother. I've been a grandmother now for 29 years. That's when my grandson, Ryan Jensen, was born. And I'll never forget the day that he was born, and I went to the hospital, and I looked at him, and I thought, this little baby, this little beautiful, beautiful child that came into this world as a result of me bringing a child into the world. I mean, it was a stunning moment for me when I became a grandmother. And at the same time, I was honored to interview a woman by the name of Jo T, who does the indigenous grandmothers. And when she walked out of the room, she said to me, "So how old are you, Elaine?" And I says, well, I was at the time, I was just facing my 70th birthday. And she said, "Well, you know, you're an elder." And I said, "Well, I know I'm getting old." She says, "No, now you're an elder. You have to share your wisdom with the young people." And I thought about that. I thought, wow, that's a big order. I got to share my wisdom with the young people as if they want to listen to me. And then all of a sudden, I become a grandmother. And I was able to share all the wisdom with both of my grandchildren, Caitlin and Ryan. And I'm very, very proud of them. And now Ryan is going to become a father. Oh, my God, that little kid is going to become a father. That little kid that used to say, "Oh, Grandma, you got to buy me a toy. I'll be a good boy." You know, all the different things how children are. So I thought about that, and I thought, now I understand two things. Two things I understand more than I ever understood. And that was, my mother used to say, "You know, Elaine, life is a dream." And I look at her like, what the heck does she mean, life is a dream? Well, that's how I feel sometimes. Did I dream all this? You know, here, did I really have a grandchild, and now they're going to have a child? I mean, did this really happen? Well, guess what, folks? It did. And then I start thinking about The Lion King, and I start thinking about that wonderful, wonderful song called The Circle of Life. You know, and I thought, well, that's where I'm at. I'm at the circle of life. I see where my mother gave birth to me. I gave birth to my daughter. My daughter gave birth to her children. And now her children are giving birth to their children. That is the circle of life. And if we don't start looking at it that way, you know, you got all these climate deniers out there while we're freezing to death and way back east, you know. If we don't start looking at what life is all about, and that we're all part about this magical, beautiful, beautiful circle, we're not going to make it. And our children are not going to have a future. So think about the words in this song. Think about the mystery of it, because it starts out in a very spiritual way with kind of a chant. And think about the circle of life. And then when we come back, we're going to have a few words with my dear friend Nora, who does the show, Classical Tones, and she's going to give us a little bit of a overview of her song and her show, and then we will also be talking to Dr. Ellen Barnett. So let's listen to The Circle of Life. Baba,
can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done.
Ooh, there is far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the air.
Oh, my goodness, the circle of life. It just brought tears to my eyes. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. For those of you just tuning in, I want to remind you that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, thank you, and welcome back again. And I'm just really, this is just a wonderful show, and we're just going to be doing a little bit, something a little bit different. I'm going to introduce my first guest, who is Nora Belnova, and she also does a show here at KBBF called Classical Tones, and she also fills in for one of the other women's shows. Welcome, Nora. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning, dear audience of KBBF. I feel very honored to be in your show, Elaine. Thank you so much.
Well, talk a little bit about what you do. Talk a little bit about Classical Tones.
Classical Tones, it's a program of 2 hours every Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. that wraps up all the music that is from Latin America and Spain, and also it's not Latin speaking. It's about all the interpreters, the musicians, and the orchestra directors that are doing a wonderful, you know, lifting up our spirits. A music that you never heard before, that it's not heard in the other stations, that they are from Latin America, like I said, or interpreters. And it's so beautiful, and it's in bilingual, Spanish and English.
Well, that's the beauty of our station. We've got English, we've got Spanish, we've got English and Spanish together. We have indigenous. I mean, it's just an amazing group. Tell me, Nora, how did you get involved in radio? And where do you get the chutzpah to get on and do this show? You know, this is a women's show. You also, tell us the other one. I don't want to ruin the Spanish of it, the name of the Amalia show.
It's Voces de Mujeres, is Women's Voices. an Amalia show that's, you know, speak up for, invites people from women to speak up in the in their radio show. It's with Maria Mendoza, Amalia Cotardi. They have this wonderful program as well that they invite important people, no, ordinary people that do important job, important things.
That's the way the theme of Women's Space
yes.
is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
You know, and so where do you get your confidence?
Well, I've been a performer. I've been trained since 9 years old, but I love ballet since I was 6 years old, that I saw a Russian cinema movie, Swan Lake. So I just was accepted when I was 9 years old to a very strict form to learn ballet for 9 years.
So
right
you're a
away.
Dancer.
I am a professional dancer. Yes, and I love it since the first day, and I never stopped loving it. I finished when I was 15 years old. I did study pedagogy for teaching ballet, and I was hired for the company in my country when I was 15 years old because I finished my high school at that age.
What country is that? Where do you come
from? Is that Lima, Peru?
Oh, you come from Lima. That's where, you know, people don't realize that Santa Rosa
yeah,
is named after the Rose of Lima.
Yes.
You know, we actually have a picture in our living room that
yeah.
actually somebody sent
Santa
us.
Rosa.
Yeah, so yeah, wonderful.
That's, yeah.
And so you were a ballet dancer. I could tell by your the way you walk, and I never put the two together. I was a dancer also.
Wonderful.
I danced Afro-Haitian dance.
Oh, that's great.
And modern.
Any dance is so beautiful. And at my school, they not only taught us classical technique, which is very strict and very, you have to work on it, but also they make us love our folk dances. We learn all the folk dances of our region in Peru. So that's the beauty of that. And then I got introduced to be with Russian teachers. They came and taught us at the ballet school, as well as from United States, from England, from Europe, from France, from Germany. So we dance a variety of techniques like Limon, Martha Graham, jazz, dance theater, and all the modern dance. So I was awarded for a scholarship to be a year at London School of Contemporary Dance to learn Graham technique as well.
Oh my goodness, you know, here I come into the studio, you know, and I had this little space here, and I asked Nora, would you please come in? I want to talk about the shows, you know, and here she is vacuuming the rugs. I mean, we're all volunteers here at KBBF, and here you hear all this beautiful background that you had in dance, and how we never get to know each other until we sit down and have a conversation, whether it's on the radio or in your coffee table and in your living room. Well, Nora, before we end this segment, and I really appreciate you coming in and giving us this beautiful, beautiful background about you. You know, it is 2018. Do you have any I'm going to put you on the spot. Any special New Year's resolutions or anything special that you would like to see happen?
Yeah. My life has been changed since 2004. That's how I came to KBVF. Suggested by one of my ballet students to come here, and here I am at the KBBF. I met Alicia Sanchez, and she's a wonderful woman. She gives it all to the community. So little by little, I got introduced. Since I am a performer, I love classical music, and since last year, I've been, you know, having this show. And for me, every day, it's very important. I open my eyes, and I'm very thankful I am here.
Oh, I couldn't have put it any more beautifully, Nora. So give us the time that the classical tunes is on.
It's every Wednesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. And also, if you can go to the website, to our website, www.kbbf.org. You can go on programs and then choose Tonos Clásicos or Classical Tones, bilingual, And then from there, you can go on demand in archives and see other shows at any time of the day, as well as your show as well, any shows.
Oh, they're archiving? Oh, I'm so ignorant. Oh.
No.
So they're archiving the show?
They keep our shows 2 weeks prior our show. So they can enjoy your show. You can listen your own music at any time as well.
Well, I want to thank you, Nora Bellanova, for being here and sitting in on this. And we're going to take a musical break.
Oh, wonderful.
And I want to dedicate this next song to you.
Oh, thank because you.
Because here you come from another country, another language, you know, and here you are in our station contributing so much. You know, all people on this station here, we're all volunteers, including our president, who is also the director here, and including our program director, Edgar Avila. Everybody is volunteer.
Yes.
So I want to dedicate this song to you, Nora. It's called We Are the Women, and it's sung by Betsy Rose. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. And when we come back, we will continue the show. We will be talking to Dr. Ellen Barnett, PhD, MD, Medical Director for Integrative Family Practice Clinic and Group Leader for the Blalian Group. And today, we're going to talk about Imagine You. So here we go with We Are the Women by Betsy Rose.
We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women who act, women who pray, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow.
Welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holds. And before we begin, I have to tell you something really interesting that happened. I have Dr. Ellen Barnett here in the room, and she brought her daughter with her, and her daughter is Anna Dozar, and it was very interesting. Anna just informed me that she knew my granddaughter, Caitlin Jensen. So, Anna, welcome, Anna Dozar. I'm going to ask you a few questions. So give us a report on my granddaughter. How was she?
I haven't seen her in many years, but we did art class together all through high school, so she was one of my art crew, and yeah, we hung out a lot in art and did beautiful art together. So I haven't seen her in years, though. I'd love to know.
Well,
how
I'm
going to
make
doing.
Sure. I'm going to make sure she hears. Well, thank you, and thank you for being here with your mother. And if you have anything to say as we have the conversation, just lift your finger, and I'll be happy to put you on the mic.
All right.
Well, welcome. I have Dr. Ellen Barnett in the room with me. Welcome, Dr. Barnett.
Thank you so much, Elaine. It's an honor to be here, and it's a wonderful show you've put together for the last few months. I guess you started.
Let's see, we just celebrated 5 years.
5 years.
5 years this time. I was 5 years from 1976 to 1981, and then I was also 5 years on community access television. God,
right.
What a long career. Well, that's what happens when you live this long.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you, Dr. Barnett. Dr. Ellen Barnett, PhD, MD. She's the medical director of the Integrated Family Practice Clinic and a group leader for the BALINT group. Can you tell us a little bit before we go, what's how do you pronounce it?
You pronounce it BALINT group. You must have gotten that from my CV. Michael Ballant was a psychologist in England after World War II, and he started this process of initially family doctors getting together to talk about the doctor-patient relationship. So the Ballant group process that I work with here in Santa Rosa and other places gets family doctors or any health professional together in a group, and we present cases about patients that get our attention in some way. They nudge us, or they're staying, the idea about our relationship with that patient is staying with us. And so the group then discusses what's going on with the patient, what's going on with the doctor, and what's going on in their relationship. So it's a way of understanding how you're working with patients better.
You know, it's interesting because at one time, doctors didn't have to worry about that. You know, they just were this is it, and that there was no interaction the way there is today. Well, thank you for explaining that. And then I understand that you developed a program called Imagine You. You know, and it's a very, very, it's an interesting concept to me. And then also you have a surgeon's license. You're actually a surgeon.
Well, I'm the license to practice medicine in California is a medicine surgical license, but so we all have that license. And depending on your specialty, you may or may not use surgical skills. I don't anymore do much surgery, some lumps and bumps in the office, but I'm primarily a family practice doctor.
Well, when you send me your resume, I was just overwhelmed with all the credentials that you had. But all of a sudden, I find right at the end that you managed to go to, have a degree in journalism and communications and also a bachelor's degree in social science. So it sounds like you've had a well-rounded education with the medical as well as the social implication. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree with that. As I said, when I applied to medical school, my greatest qualification was the 10 years I was not a physician before I went to medical school. So,
And also you went to USC.
I did go to USC.
So that's very impressive. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your resume or anything else you'd like to share with the folks about you? How you got into this Imagine You with all that you've been doing in the medical field?
Well, it was a pretty natural progression. I was working as a family doctor for years. I trained here in Santa Rosa at Community Hospital, what was then Community Hospital. And I realized that that I really wasn't hearing enough about what my patients really wanted in terms of their own health care. I was doing what doctors do, and that's give them a long should list, all the things they should be doing. And I wasn't listening enough to what they really were important.
You know, I want to go back just a little bit. As I'm looking at you, I'm wondering, when you went to medical school, how many women were there at that time?
I went to Case Western Reserve, and my freshman class, there were about a third of the class were women, but it was the first year that the acceptance rate was the same as the men. So about the same number of women were accepted as applied, same percentage were accepted as applied as men. And that was sort of a change in terms of the percentages.
Do you think there's more of a balance now?
There is. Just look at the local residency program. We have the majority of the residents here at the Sutter Family Practice Training Program are women. And many more women are going into medicine, particularly primary care.
In your opinion, do you think having more women in the medical field has made a bigger difference?
I actually do.
Well, no. I knew you were going to say yes.
There's some research data to support that opinion. You always like to have data to support your general opinions. I think it gives a different perspective, a perspective, because more women are patients than men. So it gives a chance for women to have a practitioner who's a woman.
Well, it's just amazing. I mean, my hat always goes off, especially when I'm not saying that, you know, we're kind of in the same, we're in the same ballpark here, but it's always so impressive because as women coming back to school, doing some of the things that we did, we're not quite as easy as it is today for women. You know, today it's much more accepted. And now with the whole women's movement, and not only just the women speaking out against violence right now, I think there's more of a chance. And I think women will make a big difference. I have a friend of mine that does by the name of Sharon Maynard, who says that until we have 68% of women representing us in Congress and the Senate, we will never have peace on earth. So, you know, I mean, it's just a thought. Well, let's get back. What is the Imagine You program, you know? And what was your motivation behind having it?
Well, thank you for asking. The program is what we're doing in our nonprofit foundation that's associated with the clinic is we train Imagine You leaders. So we train people from the community to lead workshops that last anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour and a half. It's a workshop that guides people through the process of imagining you, imagining them as in their best way. We start with what's the most important thing to you in your life? And then waiting for a moment and letting you consider that. And then going forward and going through a process of helping you really imagine that in your mind's eye and create an actual piece of paper, an image that you create that represents how you feel about yourself when you think about yourself in your best way, and then what you can do in a very small step to move you toward that image. So it's a process of clarifying your own personal goals and a process of going through several different methodologies, really. Imagining, creating with your hands, thinking of a small step that you're committing to that helps you make that real, that image of yourself that says, this is me in my very best way. And then we can use that image in your daily life. I can use it as a physician to look at what we can do to help you reach your goals rather than you helping you reach my goals for you. So my goals for you might be your blood pressure should be reduced. But the question is, why? Why should your blood pressure be reduced? What's that going to get you that's important to you?
Oh, good health.
Yes. Well, and more specifically, what is good health going to get you? It's going to get you something that's really important to you that I don't know unless I ask you. Because the general concept of good health we've found in developing this process is exceptionally different for each person. So each person's vision of what's important to them that they would need their good health to make real is very different. So I tell the story of the first patient I used this process with, and she had diabetes, and we weren't quite getting too far in terms of controlling her diabetes. And so I asked her, well, what can't you do that you would like to do? And she said, I'd like to fly fish with my husband. I said, well, why can't you fly fish with your husband? I don't feel the rocks in the river as I'm walking out to start my fly fishing because my diabetes the nerve irritation, the neuropathy is limited. I said, well, then if we work to get your blood sugar more controlled, you might be able to feel a little more in walking out and feel more confident in fly fishing. So then we found a place that we could work together. That's why she wanted to be healthy. I didn't know that unless I asked her. I was working on her blood sugar. So it gives us a place where we can both be working on the same page.
Well, where has the program been presented? And also, how do people get involved in it?
Well, we have a website. It's called imcfound.com. So www.imc, I as in imagine, M as in medical, C as in clinic, found for the foundation, imcfound.org. And on that website, you can see testimonials about the process. You can see when the training programs start. We're having another training program in March. And so people can get trained to be leaders in this.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Okay,
sure.
So the idea is you train people to go out in the community and give workshops.
Yes.
And the workshop is on Imagine You.
So yes.
You as a medical doctor, you were working with someone in a medical level. But say, for example, I got trained.
Great.
So who would I work with?
Well, what we found was it really works better when you're not in the medical setting.
Okay.
Because in the medical setting, you know, I have an appointment. I got a lot of stuff to get through with the patient. And so it really works better out in community organizations. And we've presented this to about 2,500 people in Sonoma County so far. And we've done it in many, many different settings. So there's been, it's service group meetings at some of the community agencies, like we've worked a lot with the Voices, or the Voices program at listeners are not familiar with Voices, but it's a program to work with foster youth who are transitioning into out of foster care. We've worked with homeless shelters. We're working now with the Alianza Clinic in Healdsburg to train all their staff to use these techniques. So any organization, if you have a program and you want your participants or members or whatever you're calling the people that you work with, if you want them to participate in the program, Imagine You ask the question, why? Why should they participate? What's most important to them in their lives that your program will support? So any organization can benefit from using this technique. You can use it one-to-one with individuals, or as a small group workshop, or as a large group kind of keynote process. You can use the process that we train to in any situation, and it helps really engage your clients, your members, engage them so that they're participating with your activity from their perspective, not from your perspective.
So actually what you're saying is, when you have people step back, you're saying you're stepping back and really looking at what you want, and then taking the next step, which is kind of visualizing it, imagining it, and seeing that there's a possibility. Like, for example, that woman with the neuropathy, if she cuts her sugar down, she might be able to go fly fishing with her husband because her feet have more sensitivity.
Exactly.
Has less sugar. So it's kind of a way to take the next step.
Yes, and it's a way to engage the people you're working with so that they might take the next step of whatever your program is that you're trying to work with them on, so that they take that step from their perspective. One technique we use in the program that we could use right now, and that is, if you think of what's most important to you.
Well, you know, what's most important is that women come together and speak out.
Okay. So if you think of that and you think, okay, now you're leading a radio show to help that vision.
Right.
Now, if you think of something, and so notice how you feel when you think of coming to work and doing a radio show for that goal. Just notice in your body for 2 seconds how you're feeling. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting.
Okay, so you have some level of connection.
We have a level of connection, but you also have that feeling of, well, that's an awful grant. Who do you think you are putting that out there?
Okay, so you have both. Now just put that feeling on the shelf for a second and think of your should list. most of us have a should list. You know, I should eat more vegetables, or I should go to the gym more often, or I should
drink more water.
Okay. Notice how you feel in your body when you think of your should list.
I feel anxious.
Okay. So if you compare that anxiety, and when we ask other people this question, they're usually using words like, I feel darker or harder or anxious or some kind of negative-ish word if you're thinking about your should list. But if you think of something, think of how you felt when you really felt that connection between what's important to you and what you're doing. It's usually a little lighter than that should list feeling.
Yeah, you feel a little bit better.
Exactly. And that's the feeling that we are working with when we engage with you from your perspective, from what's important to you, rather than me as a physician say, well, you should lose weight or you should control your blood pressure or should. That should list brings that negative feeling. And we will always do better when we're working from a positive feeling than if we're working from a negative feeling. So the Imagine You process engages you in a way to really bring forth that feeling of what's most important to you, and then you can use that in your daily life.
Well, time just flies when we're in this room, so let's give that website one more time.
www.imcfound.org.
Anything special you'd like to tell our listeners about a Happy New Year? Anything special?
Well, of course, a Happy New Year, and may it blessed be better than last year.
Yes.
And may we all have our visions realized.
And imagine that, not to be afraid to imagine, to sit back and imagine and start writing it down. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Barnett. This has been really, really, really interesting. And thank you so much also, Nora, for letting me know about Caitlin. And I'll definitely make sure that I contact her and let her know. You'll leave me your phone number and
sure.
Everything. Anyway, I want to thank my listeners for listening. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And we had a special guest with us. We had Nora Velanova, who does classic tones here on Wednesday night from what was it, 7 to 9?
9 to 11.
From 9 to 11. Thank you, here on KBBF 89.1. I want to thank Nora for coming in and for sharing her story. God only knew that she's a ballet dancer, and one would never know if you did not go into conversation. Anyway, you have been listening to Women's Spaces. I am your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I want to thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time.
She knows everything you do because the woman in your